Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Okay, but since we are talking about money, let's talk about one of the most important parts of the 93 Ed Reform Law. It's called the Foundation Budget Formula, and it revolutionized how Massachusetts pays for education. And joining us now is Ed Moskovich. He's currently the executive director of Momenta, a nonprofit that works with schools in the state to improve their outcomes. He's also a consultant to the Business Alliance for Education. And in 1993, he helped draft the Ed Reform Law and is considered to be one of the architects of the Foundation Budget Formula. Ed Moskovich, welcome to Radio Boston.
It's nice to be here. Thank you.
Well, I was wondering if you could just first of all take us back to just before 1993 and remind us, why was it that the state was in need of revamping how it paid for education?
I'm not sure that people thought that it needed that, but what happened was the superintendents and the business community started talking to each other, and the superintendent said they needed more money, and the business community said, we want you held accountable. And they agreed to do both. And then at the same time, this really wonderful high-tech businessman, Jack Rennie, really self-motivated, got involved and started the Mass Business Alliance for Education. And he wanted to put together a comprehensive plan to improve schools. Mm-hmm. And so He had a board of directors, business people, and they asked themselves, what do we need to do?
Yeah.
And one of the questions was, are we spending enough? So they asked me to work with them on that, and I explained to them that under Proposition 2.5, state revenues or local revenues would always rise by less than the actual cost of doing whatever you were doing. So that as an economist, I would say in real terms, spending is always cut. Uh-huh. And I said, at some point it will be too low. These were bright people. They said, yeah, you're right. At some point it'll be too low. And then one of them said, well, is it too low now? And uh-huh. I said, ah, well, we should find out. And I had a little money left in my contract. And so I said to them, why don't I meet with a bunch of superintendents and we will talk about how much is enough? And so we will work out an agreement under your auspices about what would be enough money to allow schools to meet the high expectations yeah. we all would like.
So can I just jump in
sure,
here? Because
of course.
That is the critical thing. What would be enough?
Yes.
Right? Because it's a simple
exactly.
question, but an utterly complex idea, right? Because I mean, what would be enough has a lot to do with the individual districts, with individual students, with resources, with the overall makeup of the student body. And that's what I think is so innovative about this thing that we're talking about, the Foundation Budget Formula. Because finally, last year, for the first time, I got my hands on it, on the actual formula, right? It's got all these different inputs that you can put in.
Yes.
Can you just tell us a little bit about how it works?
So what it does is it starts by saying, in your district, how many students do you have of various types? Elementary, middle, high, vocational? Are they low income? Are they English language learners? And then it says, okay, how much do you need? How many teachers do you need in classrooms? Mm-hmm. How many other teachers do you need? How much do you need for books? How much do you need for secretaries? Maintain everything yeah. like that. And what we had this, Jack was really proud of this because he loved the idea that we started by saying, let's see how much we need. So I went to the Superintendents Association and I said, would you get a bunch of superintendents to work with me? And we met, I can't remember, about 5, 6, 7, 8 times. And we had these discussions. What does the class size need to be? So it was mutually respectful.
Yeah.
I respected their expertise, but they respected the fact that the Mass Business Alliance was not going to give them whatever they wanted, no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
We came up with something. We had a couple meetings. One meeting we had like 300 superintendents, and they got briefed, and then they got to give comments, and they could tell me if they thought I was wrong. A couple of them persuaded me, and we changed it. And so when we came out of that, we had all the superintendents in the state feeling, yes, we really had input in this. We accept that that's enough.
Yeah. So tell me if I'm understanding how the Foundation Budget Formula works, if I'm understanding it correctly. Because I think it's a powerful tool, right? You basically put in all these inputs. and out comes a number.
A budget.
Yes. A number, right?
Yes.
Specialized for your district.
Yes.
Right? And it's the suggested per pupil spending?
Yes.
For any given district.
Yes. Exactly right.
Okay. So this is a really key idea then, because then the state comes in and says, well, if you are Lawrence, for example, we think you should spend X number of dollars per pupil, but you're a city that's only able to provide a certain percentage of that.
So the formula, in addition to the foundation budget, there's a whole mechanism for getting to a budget. The law was written in such a way that districts not only should spend the foundation budget, they must.
They must spend it. Okay.
And then it says, given how wealthy you are, how much should you provide locally, and the state will spend the rest. Now, we're simplifying. I don't think we should get into too much more detail. But that's the general idea. Now, there are two key things that I'm really pleased about. One is that it automatically adjusts for inflation. Mm-hmm. Lots of states have the equivalent of this, although I don't know that they did it by asking how much they needed. But they don't always adjust for inflation. So if you don't do that, within 3 or 4 years, it's sort of it's too little. And the other is that we put in there that a low-income child, on average, needs more money.
Yeah.
So the foundation budget per pupil is higher in Lawrence than in Wellesley.
Right.
That is a revolutionary idea.
Their needs are likely greater.
They start farther behind.
Exactly.
And what's really a tribute to Massachusetts, I think, is that nobody, not Republicans, Democrats, conservatives, liberals, the idea that the foundation budget should be higher in Lawrence than in Wellesley was never criticized by anybody.
Right.
And I think we should all feel really good about that.
Yeah. So the state accepted that in certain districts, students should get more money spent on them so that they can get to the level they deserve to be. And also, to your point, the richer districts are allowed to spend well over their foundation budget number, which many of them do.
Right.
By multiple tens of percents. But here's the thing. So you talked about it being adjusted for inflation.
Yes.
Good call in 1993. You know where I'm going with this.
I know where you're going.
Because right now, the big question is the fundamentals of this key formula that helps us understand how much we should be spending on education in Massachusetts hasn't changed in major ways since 1993.
That's right.
And there has been a movement on Beacon Hill to get key parts of it updated. Like how is it that we should figure out how much to pay for health care, and because we've had advances in what we understand the needs of students, special needs students are. We should adjust that part of the formula.
So one question you could ask me, is there anything you wish you had done differently?
Let's say that I did ask that question.
Good question. All right. The three things I should have done differently. One is that the health care, actually, there's two questions. One is, does it adjust properly for inflation? And the other is everything in there that needs to be in there? So in the back of my mind when I designed the special ed was a certain model for how you deal with kids with special needs. And I've learned in the last few years that districts whose programs I really like do it in a different way, which is more expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And so in my view, for policy reasons, we should use this higher spending model because it works better. The second thing that I wish I had put in, remember, this was all about what do you need to improve schools?
Yeah.
Well, one of the things I've learned is that in order to really move schools, you need a teacher whose job is to help other teachers to improve their craft. And we didn't know that. We didn't put in there. And if I were doing it again, I would put that in. In terms of keeping up with inflation, the indicator that I used to inflate the amount that's spent on healthcare did not rise as much as actual cost. Of course, so you could blame the guy who did it, me. But I've also checked there is no indicator that actually reflected the 4 or 5 years when it was going up by
18%. We couldn't anticipate how fast healthcare costs would rise.
Yeah. If somebody says to you, in real terms, the foundation budget is not as big as it was back then, they're right. And so that needs to be adjusted as well.
Yeah. So to be clear, I mean, even these costs for students with special needs and health insurance have gone up. districts are still spending, they're spending what they're supposed to spend on the foundation budget because, as you said, that's the law. But I think the concern from education advocates and some on Beacon Hill is that that means less is being spent in other areas for education.
No question about that.
So, you know, the Senate did pass an update to the foundation budget formula. We don't know what's going to happen to it in the House. But do you support what we've seen, you know, the language that we've seen on Beacon Hill so far?
Well, so I want to go back to the reason that this happened in the first place. It happened because, I mean, how did it pass? How did this group of business people come along and get the state to increase state spending by $2 billion a year? They did it because everybody involved believed that the package of changes would, in fact, dramatically improve education. So I don't think it actually did. If you look, and I did this the last about a month ago, I went and looked at the NAEP scores, the National Assessment, the nation's report card. You look at white students in Massachusetts who are not poor, they score about 2% above the national average. It hasn't changed. Low-income blacks and Hispanics score about 1% above the national average for low-income blacks and Hispanics. And that hasn't changed. So we didn't get the huge change in results that we anticipated.
Uh-huh.
So what I think people kind of miss is that the reason we got $2 billion more was because everyone thought it would improve schools.
This is in 93 you're talking about. Yeah.
And the Foundation Budget Review Commission report would cost, I can't remember, but $1 billion or $1.5 billion. Unless people believe that money is going to make a big difference in performance, the politics aren't there.
So wait, are you saying, I mean, because that Foundation Budget Review Committee did say that they think right now we're $1 billion or $2 billion short and what we need to fund education. Are you saying that you don't think it would make a difference?
What I'm saying is that the $2 billion we put in didn't make the kind of difference that all of us thought it would make. And until people address that, I don't think you're going to get a consensus to increase it some more. So this is kind of a revolutionary idea. Why do I think this? So
you're dropping something really big on us, and we're almost out of time. So
all right. So the group that I run, we over the years we've worked with almost 100 schools across the state, and most of them have moved really dramatically, some of them haven't. And the difference always, it's never the teachers, it's always, is the leadership there? Do the teachers know what they need? Do they have the tools they need to deal with diverse classes? The answer is that most schools don't. But if the tools are available and the principal supports it and the superintendent supports it, then they can move the schools. And the state is not addressing it. Just giving more money to districts where the leadership isn't there isn't going to move them.
Wow. Well, promise me you'll come back and we'll talk more about this.
I'd be happy to.
Ed Moskovich, he's currently the executive director for Momenta, a nonprofit that works with schools in the state to improve outcomes. And in 1993, he helped draft the Ed Reform Law we've been talking about. He's considered to be one of the architects of the foundation budget formula. Ed Moskovich, thank you so very much.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
And before we take a break, I just want to have an update here for folks. President Donald Trump did indeed sign an executive order to end his administration's policy of separating children from their families who are entering the country at the U.S. southern border, and we will have more coverage of that later on All Things Considered. Stay with us. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.